flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Shaletta Show, and I am so excited and delighted to be here. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. It is 1:07, and we have a big, giant snowstorm coming. You know, right now it's nice. It's sunny. There's a little snow on the ground, but baby, come tomorrow and Monday, we're about to get a molly whopper, and Jonathan's going to have all that information for us at 1:35 when he provides us with the weather update. But I wanted to provide you with an update. So, you know, I love hanging out downtown Minneapolis. It's the one thing that made me fall in love with the city when I moved here in 2004, back when I was young and could wear, you know, heels and stuff. Sean and I would get dressed and we would go downtown. No plans. Downtown was popping. I mean, the club scene, they had movie theater, the restaurants, and we would just go and walk around. And, you know, if we wanted to catch a movie, we would catch a movie. Sometimes we would just walk by the theater, see who was performing, and buy tickets on the spot. And see comedy concert, or, you know, one of our favorite singers, Anthony Hamilton, just happened to be in town that day and we got tickets. And so, you know, I love being downtown Minneapolis. Lobster corn dogs at Ike's, you know, that was my jam back in the day, you know. And so now I love it when there are events coming up in downtown Minneapolis. And I love to tell folks about them because I don't want anybody to miss them. And one of the things that my family and I participated in last year for the first time was Doors Open Minneapolis. We got a chance to go inside the downtown post office. My kids thought that was just the greatest thing ever. And we looked inside and we saw them processing the mail. And, you know, you see all these historic Minneapolis buildings and centers and churches. And you're like, man, you drive by those places and you're like, I want to go in there one day. I want to hang out in there. What's in there? What y'all doing back there? Well, you can do that with Doors Open Minneapolis. I went into the Dayton's building. Like, I'd never been in Dayton's. It was closed by the time I moved here. And I kept hearing Adam Carter and, you know, everybody talking about Dayton's, Dayton's, Dayton's. And I was like, you know, it would be nice if I could identify with what y'all are talking about. I have no idea what y'all are talking about. And so last year for Doors Open Minneapolis, my daughter Cameron and I went to some of the sights and sounds. And we went inside the Dayton's building downtown. Y'all, I felt like I was living in history. I feel like I had teleported back in time. It was beautiful. We had a great time. You know, the tour was amazing, and it's self-guided. You can go and see the buildings you want to see. You can go and do the things that you want to do. And so to tell us all about that, Dr. Heidi Swank is joining us. She's the executive director of Rethos. They put on Doors Open Minneapolis, sponsored by Comcast. And Dr. Swank, thank you so much for being here and for putting on this amazing event. Again, it is May 18th and 19th. The plan last year, Dr. Swank, and you know this, I was going to broadcast my show live from inside the Dayton's building. That was the plan. And then some equipment malfunctioned at the radio station, and I had to broadcast my show from the station. That was like the first time that all of us came back into the studio. I hadn't seen Steve Thompson in 3 years. And so I was so bummed out. So I'm across my legs, fingers, toes, and eyes, Dr. Swank, that I could actually broadcast my show from inside the Dayton's building this year.
That would be fantastic. We would love that. Thank you so much for talking about this great event, Shaletta. It's great to be back.
Now, 18th and 19th May, I need everybody to mark their calendars. For anybody who's hearing about Doors Open Minneapolis for the first time, you got to tell us all about it.
Right. So it is May 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. And this is also the same weekend as Art of World. So if you're going to Art of World, you're already out and about, come over to Doors Open. If you're at Doors Open, head over to Art of World too. It is a totally free event. You get to learn about all of these really great spaces all over Minneapolis. It's totally free. And also we have been working with Metro Transit, so there's free transit. And we are working to get some parking lots, too, free in downtown Minneapolis. So the idea really is to make all of these spaces open to the public so you can go and learn about your city. Or maybe it's the city next door, or maybe you're from someplace else and you just think Minneapolis is cool like the rest of us do and want to come and learn some really cool stuff about Minneapolis.
Okay, now is there a cost for this? I know there's no cost, but you got to tell people about the cost, because I already got a text message that says, how much is it? Because people think, Dr. Swank, that I'm not on the radio doing my job. They feel like we're really talking, which is good, but they texted me and they asking me questions in real time that they want me to ask you.
Right, so it is free. There are a few venues that you do have to register, and there's a small fee for that, mainly because they have very small spaces or they're very difficult to reach, like the Target lights. Those are ones at the top of the Target building that you have to sign up for. But that is like out of 110 venues, there are like maybe five of those. So that means that there are 105 venues that you can go to across Minneapolis for free. And we're not talking about just like walking through and looking at a building. There are people there to tell you about it so you can actually learn some things. Like, I think one of the things that's been really super popular, which I am still find fabulous that it's so popular, is the manhole cover that is opened up by the city of Minneapolis. And they put a camera down there and they talk to you about how public works, how the city works, and what's happening under the streets that you go over every day. So like that manhole cover, one of our most popular venues on the entire event.
Okay, now we are talking about all these places that people can go. Is Doors Open Minneapolis is not just downtown. When we get back, I want to talk to you, Dr. H, about some of these other historic buildings that people can go into.
Excellent.
And see, like the Spokesman Recorder newspaper, because, you know, some folks say, you know what, I don't want to go downtown. You don't have to go downtown. They got something in South Minneapolis. They got something in North Minneapolis. They got all kinds of places. We're going to tell you where you can find them, how you can get the schedule, and what you can do and how you can have fun with your family for free when we come back. You can go downtown, baby, May 18th and 19th for Open Doors Minneapolis. It is always an amazing time. My daughter and I went into the Dayton's building, that historic building that everybody tells me was just an amazing place back in its heyday. I would pass by there, headed to work, and, you know, just kind of peek through the window if I'm walking over, you know, to the Egg and I to get, you know, a little brunch or something. And, you know, just always wonder, what's up? What was it like? You know, because Adam Carter's always talking about what a great place it was. I was like, I can't. I did. You ain't got no pictures from back in the day. I got nothing to see. Well, I saw it. I saw it last year because my daughter Cameron and I went to Open Doors Minneapolis and we had a fantastic time. Well, it's coming back again. May 18th and 19th. A lot of historic buildings are on this list. You can go in, you can see it, you can take a tour, and it's all a part of this program that Rethos has put together. Comcast is the sponsor. Dr. H is still on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker hotline. Now, Dr. H, we talked about a lot of the downtown spots, but you've got places all over the Twin Cities. Where can people go to get the comprehensive list of all the places that Doors Open Minneapolis has available for them to check out?
So it's all online on our website, which is doorsopenminneapolis.org. So if you go to doorsopenminneapolis.org, you can see all of the venues. You can also, for that very small number of venues that have sign-up times, you can sign up there. And if you would like to hang out in one of those buildings for much longer, you could also volunteer, and you can do that from our website, too.
Okay. And what does it take to volunteer? Because I tell you what, y'all had the most amazing volunteers last year. I told somebody, I said, did y'all get some autism training or something? Because they knew exactly how to handle my daughter. You know, it was a large crowd because everybody was trying to get to dates. That was one of the hot spots. And she must have just kind of been looking overwhelmed. Next thing I know, she had some little soft thing to play with. I was like, girl, where'd you get that from? It was like one of the volunteers just kind of snuck it to her. And so talk to me about the volunteers and how folks could sign up, too.
Great. Yeah, sure. So last year we had over 550 volunteers. And this is really, this is volunteer powered. This whole weekend is volunteer powered. So volunteers can go to doorsopenminneapolis.org and you'll find the volunteer section and you can go in and you can pick which venue you want to volunteer at. So if you love the Art Godfrey House, you can sign up there. If you love the Historic Coliseum Building, which is one of our new venues this year, you can sign up there. You can go in and sign up for your time, for where you're going to be. You and a friend can sign up. And there's some really great things that come with volunteering for Doors Open. It's not just that you get to hang out. It's not a just. I love hanging out in old buildings and new buildings and any building. So you get to hang out in a building for a four-hour shift, but you also get a really cool T-shirt for Doors Open. And the best part is that you get a special sticker that takes you when you are going to see venues as a participant. You get to skip the line. So let's say you want to go see the Federal Reserve. Always has a long line. It's
yeah,
super popular.
I remember. We had to get out of the line. Yeah.
You, if you are a volunteer, you can skip the line. You don't have to wait in any line at all. And so you put in 4 hours to volunteer and hang out and do some fun stuff with other folks who love old buildings. And then when you go to other venues, you get to go right to the head of the line.
Okay. Now, getting back to this list. I know that in South Minneapolis, one of the things that a lot of the kids at the University of Minnesota, I'm over there at the Hubbard School of Journalism, teaching a podcasting class. And Landon Swain, one of the students there, was so excited to go over to the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. One of his heroes is Charles Homan. Charles Homan is in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He is in the Sports Journalist Hall of Fame. He is in the, you know, he's been writing for 40 plus years. So any young African-American man who wants to get into sports, Charles Homan is on their Mount Rushmore. So Landon was just so excited to get off in the Spokesman Recorder newspaper because he wants to see where Charles Homan sits. And that's one of the buildings that is back on the list again this year.
Definitely. We have the Spokesman Recorder, and then we have Zara Integrated Root Centers also back. We also have one of our new venues that we're really excited about is the Historic Coliseum Building. So this is a historic building that's on Lake Street that was heavily damaged during the civil unrest after George Floyd's murder. Mm-hmm. And it's now being restored as a Black business hub. By mostly Black developers and entrepreneurs. It's an amazing project. I think, like, everyone should stop by and see that project. We had been hoping to get it last year, wasn't quite ready, but they are on board here. So we're super excited about that one. We have a lot of family-friendly venues, too. So you can go learn about how the Blue Line, the Metro Blue Line works. So you can learn about how all that transit works in the city. You can go to a fire station. Who doesn't love a fire station? Everybody loves the big trucks. They love the firemen. And so you can go to fire station number one. The American Swedish Institute is on board this year. We're super excited to have them, and the Cedar Cultural Center also. We have a whole, like I said, last year we had 87 venues. This year we had 110. So we had even more people turning out and realizing like, what a great time this is to have everybody kind of come together and learn about their city. And so we even have more venues than we had last year.
Now, tell me this. How are you curating these venues? Because one of the things that I appreciated when I took a look at the venues from last year and this year is it's so diverse. You know, you've got the Spokesman, you've got the cultural centers, you've got the hubs. It's not just Dayton's and the Federal Reserve and the post office. You make sure to be inclusive. And I'm guessing that was intentional, but you got to talk to me about that.
Sure. And I will say this is all Kelly Fisher, who is our heritage tourism manager.
She is awesome. Can we give some snaps up for Miss Kelly? Oh, my God. Yes.
She is great. And this year we even have hired additional staff. We have now a gentleman named Leighton Sundberg, who's worked with all the volunteers. So that's given Kelly a chance to really work with venues. And so she's been able to spend time really reaching out to, like, we've brought in two of the AME churches, Mother St. James, as well as St. Peter's AME churches. And she's been able to, like, really, like, do a lot of intentional outreach to bring in more folks into the program and really increase our diversity this year, even over last year. And in And also with all of this, she has now she has the capacity to really spend some time with each of those venues. And so I'm really interested as how folks feel like what the experience is this year, because we've really been able to expand our staff that work on this project and have someone who can really help curate all of the information that and help all of these venues come up with a great tour that they can give folks when they come that weekend.
And you went up in the number of venues. How are you and Kelly and the team making your selection? Because I'm sure this is hard to do.
Right. So people can, so venues start to apply in about September, October of last year. And so we try to get as many as we can in. I mean, we don't have a lot of requirements. It's mainly we really work with venues to make this work for them. We want to make it easy for venues to participate because we know that like some of our venues are small businesses and they have very, you know, they have a massive staff like the Federal Reserve. And so we work with them to make it easy for them to participate. We don't really have a selection criteria. You have to be in Minneapolis. You have to be able to tell a story about your building. It could be your building. It could be your business. It could be someone who lived in the building before. Like, we can help you kind of figure that out. But we really want to keep we want to keep those doors wide open for people to participate, to get all of these venues in. Because for us, the more the merrier, because that's telling more of the full story of Minneapolis.
And, you know, it's just, it brings people together. You know, by the time I left last year, I had 15 new friends. We wind up going to Hell's Kitchen together. Some people were in my car. I was like, oh, Lord, I have lost my mind. I had strange people in my car because I didn't realize this, but people were coming from other parts of the country for other events. Somebody was there for a concert and was like, what's going on? And somebody was like, doors open Minneapolis. So they were just walking around and they got turned around from their hotel because they're not from here. They were like, well, I'm hungry. I was like, we're hungry too. We got reservations over at Hell's Kitchen. And they were like, we want to come. So I was like, get in the van. And so me and I think Sonya Goins were in the van. And she was like, girl, you just let strange people in the van. They could choke us. I was like, no, they cool. We was all at the post office together. They all right. And so we went over and we... You know, it's a beautiful just to see all these people downtown and everybody talking and connecting, especially right after COVID. It was just a great feeling and a great opportunity. And I know that that kind of spirit is going to continue again this year.
Yes, I agree. And I think for me, as somebody who has worked in the sector that's talking about kind of how buildings are important parts of who we are and what makes up a city, that's what I really love about Doors Open Minneapolis, is that it gives us that we connect to our city as a group of people and to find those commonalities between all of us. And that's what we really, really love about this free event, right? That's why it's free. It's there so that anybody can go, everyone can connect, and we can all like remember Minneapolis and remember that we are all part of that really great community that makes up that city.
Well, I'm so glad that you came on the show today. I know you are super busy, Dr. H, but it is just such an honor to have you on the show. Now, you got to remind us again, where can people go to get the list of buildings? Because some of them you do have to sign up to get in there. You can't just bust up in there and say, hey, I'm here. And you can kind of plan, because it's so many buildings. I know last year, my daughter and I were a little bit unprepared, right? Because we got the list and then we went to a couple of places, but then we got home and we looked at the list and we were like, oh, we should have gone here or we should have gone there. And I don't know why. Oh my God, we didn't even see that one wasn't on the list. So what we're doing this year is we're going to the website, we're curating our list, we're checking it twice, and we're going to make sure we get to all the places that we missed last year because we really didn't do our homework. So folks can kind of handicap this thing early on. So talk to us about where they can get their list, and again remind them when it is and how they can participate.
Yep, I certainly can. So you want to go to our website. It's doorsopenminneapolis.org with Minneapolis spelled all the way out. It is on May 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is free. Transit is free, and if you really want to get involved, you can go to doorsopenminneapolis.org and even volunteer. So we would love to have folks turn out, but yeah, I would say go to doorsopenminneapolis.org before you go so that you can kind of pick and choose where you want to go and what you want to see. There's a lot to see that weekend, and we are so excited to bring everyone together.
Well, I am so excited to have you on the show. I'm so glad that you came on, Dr. H. And you have a wonderful and amazing weekend. And we will see you on May 18th, if not before.
Great. Thank you so much, Shaletta. I really appreciate it.
All right, you as well. And don't go anywhere. Don't be fooled. This sunshine is deceptive. We got a big winter storm on the way. Jonathan's going to give us the latest next. I want to tell you parents and grandparents out there, don't you buy a prom dress. Don't you rent a tuxedo until you can take a moment and have a talk with your high school senior about what their college plans are. You know, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to is Dr. Verna's Virtues. Dr. Verna Price, who has been a guest on this show numerous times, who you've seen all across the Twin Cities, because she is one of our most powerful, impactful Minnesota residents, whether she is donating her time to Girls Taking Action to mentor young girls, or she's writing books or doing TED Talks. She is always doing things to lift up this community. And she did a podcast last week called How to Get Your Kid to College. And, you know, I had to borrow that phrase. She said, I don't want to see a prom dress. I don't want to hear about the tuxedo or the limo rental. And you tell me that you have not talked to your child about going to college. And so when I think about going to college, I think about Doherty Family College right here in downtown Minneapolis at the University of St. Thomas. I was just blown away by what they provide to their students. When my son Andrew went over there for, you know, just one of their informational workshops and sat in, and I thought this boy was lying to me. I was like, boy, stop lying. I don't know when you start lying, but you know, we don't lie in this house. He was like, no, Mom, I'm telling you. You know, they said they got free bus fare and a couple of meals are free and the laptops are free. I was like, boy, shut up. Mm-mm, I'm not believing that. Nope. That woman didn't tell you that. And so I had to call Dr. Buffett on the phone and say, now, listen, this is what my son is saying. Is this true? She said, yes, Ms. Shaletta, it is true. And I was like, you know what? More parents need to know about this because people are working 2 and 3 jobs. My friend Tasha English has a full-time job, and then she is also her pastor's executive assistant. So she could pay for her child to go to college. So she could pay for those books. So she could pay for those laptops. And we got Doherty Family College right here downtown at the University of St. Thomas. And they got free books and free laptop and meals. So we're going to find out all those details. Dr. Buffy Smith, the dean of Doherty Family College, is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Buffy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Good afternoon, Ms. Shaletta. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, ma'am.
Now, I just have to tell you that I appreciate the way that you love on the students. You were so kind to my son when he came for the informational workshop. But I want you to talk to me about Doherty Family College. For people who are finding out about it at the same time, they're like, okay, it's at the University of St. Thomas, but is that the University of St. Thomas or is it something different? Give us a scoop and a background about Doherty.
Yes, ma'am. So Doherty Family College is one of 8 colleges at the University of St. Thomas. We started in 2017. Most people are familiar with the St. Paul campus of University of St. Thomas. Well, we're located at the heart of the Minneapolis campus of the University of St. Thomas. So really close to your station, ma'am. So we're downtown, but we are a 2-year college of the university. The purpose and the intent and the goal of Doherty Family College is really to minimize the financial, the academic, and the social barriers that many scholars who come from under-resourced communities have as they earn their associate and also their bachelor's degree. So our goal, of course, is to provide a culturally affirming, nurturing learning environment where scholars can, yes, earn their associate degree, but we're also providing them the skills and the pathway to earn eventually their bachelor's degree.
And I was there and these kids love being there. You all have cultivated some very special relationships with the students. And one of the things that my son was talking to me about was the class sizes, because I know my child, he needs special attention because we tried to, you know, we made him feel like he was special all his life. So he think when he walk out the house, everybody's supposed to treat him like that. And so one of the things that I was concerned about was being in those big giant classrooms with 400 or 500 kids and him getting lost in the shuffle. And we didn't see that when we visited Doherty Family College.
Well, indeed, Andrew is special, and we do want all of our scholars to feel special. So building a strong sense of community, a sense of belonging is key of what we do at Doherty Family College. So we refer to each other sometimes as Ohana, it means family. And so our class sizes would be between 25 scholars, and they're taking their classes together, their first-year classes, as well as their second-year sophomore classes together. So it's a small, intimate, culturally affirming learning environment, and we think it makes our scholars feel successful, but as faculty and staff, it creates a working environment for us so we can have the opportunity to, as you said, love on our scholars.
Okay. I just got a note from somebody, and they want to know, are you having another informational workshop anytime soon because they want to come by with their niece?
Yes, we do have all of our sort of group visits, and we also do individual visits are listed on our website. So if they go to dfc.stthomas.edu, that's dfc.stthomas.edu, go to our About DFC, go to News and Events, and we list all of our group visits. And if the group visits do not work, we can also have individual visits as well. And then we're going to have our big, you know, second annual block party coming in May.
Yes. Okay. Tell me about the block party, because I was there last year and it was really nice. You had a dunking booth. They had bubbles. I mean, it was really fun. I felt bad because I was like, okay, this looks like something my little children would enjoy. You know, sometimes it's good to be a kid again, and you all made it fun. And I saw high schools who were dropping off busloads of kids, and you all were feeding the children, and you had fun stuff for them. So it wasn't like, and I've been to a lot of these college visits with Andrew, and it's all business, you know, and then you leave and you're more stressed out than when you came. But this event was really a family friendly, fun event where the little kids could have fun. I want to tell you parents and grandparents out there, don't you buy a prom dress. Don't you rent a tuxedo until you can take a moment and have a talk with your high school senior about what their college plans are. You know, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to is Dr. Verna's Virtues. Dr. Verna Price, who has been a guest on this show numerous times, who you've seen all across the Twin Cities, because she is one of our most powerful, impactful Minnesota residents, whether she is donating her time to Girls Taking Action to mentor young girls, or she's writing books or doing TED Talks. She is always doing things to lift up this community. And she did a podcast last week called How to Get Your Kid to College. And, you know, I had to borrow that phrase. She said, I don't want to see a prom dress. I don't want to hear about the tuxedo or the limo rental. And you tell me that you have not talked to your child about going to college. And so when I think about going to college, I think about Doherty Family College right here in downtown Minneapolis at the University of St. Thomas. I was just blown away by what they provide to their students. When my son Andrew went over there for, you know, just one of their informational workshops, and sat in, and I thought this boy was lying to me. I was like, boy, stop lying. I don't know when you start lying, but you know, we don't lie in this house. He was like, no, mom, I'm telling you. You know, they said they got free bus fare and a couple of meals are free and the laptops are free. I was like, boy, shut up. I'm not believing that. Nope. That woman didn't tell you that. And so I had to call Dr. Buffy on the phone and say, now listen, this is what my son is saying. Is this true? She said, yes, Ms. Shaletta, it is true. And I was like, you know what? More parents need to know about this, because people are working two and three jobs. My friend Tasha English has a full-time job, and then she is also her pastor's executive assistant. So she could pay for her child to go to college. So she could pay for those books. So she could pay for those laptops. And we got Doherty Family College right here downtown at the University of St. Thomas. And they got free books and free laptop and meals. So we're going to find out all those details. Dr. Buffy Smith, the Dean of Doherty Family College, is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Buffy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Good afternoon, Ms. Shaletta. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, ma'am.
Now, I just have to tell you that I appreciate the way that you love on the students. You were so kind to my son when he came for the informational workshop. But I want you to talk to me about Doherty Family College for people who are finding out about it at the same time. They're like, okay, it's at the University of St. Thomas, but is that the University of St. Thomas, or is it something different? Give us a scoop and a background about Doherty.
Yes, ma'am. So Doherty Family College is one of eight colleges at the University of St. Thomas. We started in 2017. Most people are familiar with the St. Paul campus of the University of St. Thomas. Well, we're located at the heart of the Minneapolis campus of the University of St. Thomas. So really close to your station, ma'am. So we're downtown, but we are a two-year college of the university. The purpose and the intent and the goal of Doherty Family College is really to minimize the financial, the academic, and the social barriers that many scholars who come from under-resourced communities have as they earn their associate and also their bachelor's degree. So our goal, of course, is to provide a culturally affirming, nurturing, learning environment where scholars can, yes, earn their associate degree, but we're also providing them the skills and the pathway to earn eventually their bachelor's degree.
And I was there, and these kids love being there. You all have cultivated a some very special relationships with the students. And one of the things that my son was talking to me about was the class sizes, because I know my child, he needs special attention because we tried to, you know, we made him feel like he was special all his life. So he think when he walk out the house, everybody's supposed to treat him like that. And so one of the things that I was concerned about was being in those big giant classrooms with 400 or 500 kids and him getting lost in the shuffle. And we didn't see that when we visited Doherty Family College.
Well, indeed, Andrew is special, and we do want all of our scholars to feel special. So building a strong sense of community, a sense of belonging is key of what we do at Doherty Family College. So we refer to each other sometimes as Ohana, it means family. And so our class sizes would be between 25 scholars, and they're taking their classes together, their first year classes, as well as their second year sophomore classes together. So it's a small, intimate, culturally affirming learning environment, and we think it makes our scholars feel successful, but as faculty and staff, it creates a working environment for us so we can have the opportunity to, as you said, love on our scholars.
Okay, I just got a note from somebody, and they want to know, are you having another informational workshop anytime soon, because they want to come by with their niece?
Yes, we do have all of our sort of group visits, and we also do individual visits are listed on our website. So if they go to dfc.stthomas.edu, that's dfc.stthomas.edu, go to our About DFC, go to News and Events, and we list all of our group visits. And if the group visits do not work, we can also have individual visits as well. And then we're going to have our big, you know, second annual block party coming in May.
Yes. Okay. Tell me about the block party, because I was there last year and it was really nice. You had a dunking booth. They had bubbles. I mean, it was really fun. I felt bad because I was like, okay, this looks like something my little children would enjoy. You know, sometimes it's good to be a kid again, and you all made it fun. And I saw high schools who were dropping off busloads of kids, and you all were feeding the children, and you had fun stuff for them. So it wasn't like, and I've been to a lot of these college visits with Andrew, and it's all business, you know, and then you leave and you're more stressed out than when you came. But this event was really a family friendly, fun event where the little kids could have fun, the parents could have fun, and then the kids could have a good time, but still get the information they needed.
Absolutely. We never want to lose sight that Doherty Family College, we want to be known as a college for the community. And so we always want to make every community member feel welcome in our learning environment. And so, yes, of course, we will have an admissions tour. We will have other schools there as well. Some who have visited in the past, and there will be some who will be their first time. So we welcome everyone. We will have the traditional, and you can't have a community block party without food. So there will be delicious food there, of course, fun and games. And, yes, I do believe we will have our dunk tank again, so that will be great. Absolutely, absolutely. So it's a informal gathering where individuals can meet family members of our scholars, current scholars, our alums. They come back as well, but you also meet the phenomenal faculty and staff and administrators at Doherty Family College. So yes, you will receive some information about the school, but really, it's a good time, a relaxed time to just have fun and get to know and build community, build Ohana with each other.
Well, Dr. Buffy, I can't thank you enough for the kindness you showed to my son when he was there, giving us all this information and making sure you provided to parents as they start making decisions with their high school seniors about college. Dr. Buffy Smith, the Dean of Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas, joining us again from the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Always fun to have you on, Dr. Buffy.
Thank you, Ms. Shaletta. Thank you for all that you do for the community.
All right. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come. All right. All right. All right. It is 1:52. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Jonathan, what is your station in life right now? Where is your bracket?
Ha ha. I'll say this. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's not terrible going into the second round of the tournament. So the first round finished up last night. It was an interesting evening. A couple of 12 seeds ended up winning. Wisconsin.
What?
Yes.
What? What is that about?
Wisconsin got bounced by James Madison, which was a very popular pick with a lot of people. I did choose James Madison to win that game.
Okay, so wait, back up. How did you come to that? What made you say, you know what, I see something here?
James Madison has been under the radar for a lot of the season. They have 30 wins on the year, so they know how to play. They know how to win. They did lose a couple of games in conference in the Sun Belt. They play in the Sun Belt now to Appalachian State. But other than that, they had a pretty sparkling record, including a win at the very beginning of the season over Michigan State in East Lansing at Michigan State. That put them on the radar. They got ranked for a short period of time. And that put everyone on notice, and they continued to win. Again, they lost a couple games here and there, but they continued to win for the most part, and they won the conference tournament. So they had a lot of momentum going into it. You knew that they were a decent team if they could beat Michigan State, a tournament team who is playing later today in their building. So that's one of the reasons why I thought James Madison was someone to watch out for, and I had him winning last night. The other 12 seed that won last night was Grand Canyon. They defeated St. Mary's out of the West Coast Conference, and Grand Canyon has been it's a similar story to James Madison. They didn't have that high signature win, but they did have a big-time win, big-time wins over the season. They won the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, and won the tournament. And they are another hot team going into this field that was going into the field.
Okay, now did you have them?
I did pick them as well, yes.
Okay, you know what? How you keep picking? Are you changing your bracket? Are you cheating? Because everybody's bracket is tore up now. Nobody picked those two teams except you.
No. That's not true. A lot of people picked James Madison. And St. Mary's was vulnerable as well, even though they played really well this entire season. People saw vulnerability in the style that they play versus the style that Grand Canyon plays. And so, and again, it's in that 5-12 area where you have a lot of upsets. 5-12, 6-11, 4-13. That's a big one those are big seed lines that people look at for those upsets. One that a lot of people did not have, including me, I did not have this one, was Oakland beating Kentucky on Thursday night.
Okay. Did anybody have that? Do we have any good brackets still out there?
There were people that had that. There were perfect brackets going into Thursday night after the first day of the tournament. I did not check to see if there were any perfect brackets left after last night. I can do that real quick. Try to check that real quick.
Okay. Because I just imagine that with those two 12 seeds and Kentucky going down, that it's a wrap on brackets. Like there's nobody else out there who still has a perfect bracket. I just can't imagine that it would be. I mean, who would sit up here and say these 12 seeds and Kentucky? No.
So it looks like according to NCAA.com. Now, again, there are several sites you can go off of.
Right.
As of last night, none of the brackets were good.
Wow.
All the men's brackets were busted. If you look at ESPN and their tournament challenge, it's over. No perfect brackets are left. Everyone is done before
and
the first
round. Early on, I was going to say we're still early.
Yeah,
after
the first round, having zero brackets remaining perfect. That's an accomplishment. The NCAA did a good job of making us look like fools. That's what they did.
Well, we are not fooling you. We still have a whole nother hour of the Shaletta Show coming up, so y'all stick around. All right. It is 1:52. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Jonathan, what is your station in life right now? Where is your bracket?
Ha ha, hey, yeah. I'll say this. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's not terrible going into the second round of the tournament. So the first round finished up last night. It was an interesting evening. A couple of 12 seeds ended up winning. Wisconsin.
What?
Yes.
What? What is that about?
Wisconsin got bounced by James Madison, which was a very popular pick with a lot of people. I did choose James Madison to win that game.
Okay, so wait, back up. How did you come to that? What made you say, you know what, I see something here?
James Madison has been under the radar for a lot of the season. They have 30 wins on the year, so they know how to play. They know how to win. They did lose a couple of games in conference in the Sun Belt. They play in the Sun Belt now to Appalachian State. But other than that, they had a pretty sparkling record, including a win at the very beginning of the season over Michigan State in East Lansing at Michigan State. That put them on the radar. They got ranked for a short period of time. And that put everyone on notice, and they continued to win. Again, they lost a couple games here and there, but they continued to win for the most part, and they won the conference tournament. So they had a lot of momentum going into it. You knew that they were a decent team if they could beat Michigan State, a tournament team who is playing later today in their building. So that's one of the reasons why I thought James Madison was someone to watch out for, and I had him winning last night. The other 12 seed that won last night was Grand Canyon. They defeated St. Mary's out of the West Coast Conference, and Grand Canyon has been it's a similar story to James Madison. They didn't have that high signature win, but they did have a big-time win, big-time wins over the season. They won the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, and won the tournament. And they are another hot team going into this field that was going into the field.
Okay, now did you have them?
I did pick them as well, yes.
Okay, you know what? How you keep picking? Are you changing your bracket? Are you cheating? Because everybody's bracket is tore up now. Nobody picked those two teams except you.
No. That's not true. A lot of people picked James Madison. And St. Mary's was vulnerable as well, even though they played really well this entire season. People saw vulnerability in the style that they play versus the style that Grand Canyon plays. And so, and again, it's in that 5-12 area where you have a lot of upsets. 5-12, 6-11, 4-13. That's a big one those are big seed lines that people look at for those upsets. One that a lot of people did not have, including me, I did not have this one, was Oakland beating Kentucky on Thursday night.
Okay. Did anybody have that? Do we have any good brackets still out there?
There were people that had that. There were perfect brackets going into Thursday night after the first day of the tournament. I did not check to see if there were any perfect brackets left after last night. I can do that real quick. Try to check that real quick.
Okay. Because I just imagine that with those two 12 seeds and Kentucky going down, that it's a wrap on brackets. Like, there's nobody else out there who still has a perfect bracket. I just can't imagine that it would be. I mean, who would sit up here and say these 12 seeds and Kentucky? No.
So it looks like, according to NCAA.com, now, again, there are several sites you can go off of.
Right.
As of last night, none of the brackets were good.
Wow.
All the men's brackets were busted. If you look at ESPN and their tournament challenge, it's over. No perfect brackets are left. Everyone is done before the first
round. We're still early.
Yeah,
after
the first round, having zero brackets remaining perfect, that's an accomplishment. The NCAA did a good job of making us look like fools. That's what they did.
Well, we are not fooling you. We still have a whole nother hour of the Shaletta Show coming up, so y'all stick around.